Why have you forsaken me? The words spoken by Jesus from the cross resonate with the anguish felt by many people today, regardless of their faith. For the past half dozen years, I've worked with the Reverend Dr. Katrina Lang, whom I first met while reading theology at Cambridge, on a public arts project which takes these words as its core question and challenge. Our Stations of the Cross project uses the story of the Passion to prompt reflection and action in response to challenges of social justice. While it draws upon the traditional Christian practice of walking and praying the 14 stations, iconic moments in Jesus' final hours, it's designed to engage people of all faiths and none. In normal years, curators design a route with 14 stops in a given host city, creating a form of contemporary pilgrimage marked by works of art, old and new. The journey weaves through both sacred and secular sites, and indeed often breaks down the boundaries between these categories. At every location, we encourage participants to read reflections and listen to podcasts by artists, clergy, and activists, and to pray if this is part of their practice. The project began in London in 2016 and has since traveled to Washington, D.C., New York City, Amsterdam, and Deventer in the Netherlands, and will head to Toronto in the future. In this unsettling and painful year, Stations of the Cross, like so many other exhibitions, festivals, and other cultural institutions, has had to adapt in fundamental ways. In previous years, the central experience of Stations of the Cross involved walking, inviting visitors to experience the incidental insights and revelations that come from navigating urban spaces in search of sacred experiences. This year, as we continue to keep distant from one another out of self-protection and loving kindness towards our neighbors, especially the most vulnerable, such processions are not possible. Indeed, one might consider refraining from touch as its own kind of Lenten devotion, a fast from the nourishing company of friends and loved ones, for the sake of a greater good. With proximity inadvisable, we imagined an exhibition which dwells on distance and the connections made possible by technology. This year's stations take viewers on a virtual journey through Russia, Pakistan, South Korea, the Netherlands, Israel, and various regions in between. A sojourn that would, of course, take years on foot or days by airplane collapses into less than an hour for visitors who listen to the recordings by artists in this year's project. Each station in this journey responds to a monument or memorial, reflecting a tumultuous year in which fresh memorials sprung up to grieve the dead and historic monuments to prejudice were toppled and dismantled. We invited artists to keep these connotations in mind, but ultimately we left the terms monument and memorial open to interpretation for artists to construct as they saw fit. Some artists turned to historic monuments to find parallels with the Passion in the present moment. Michael Takeo Magruder, who recently served as artist-in-residence at the British Library, employed a signature method of remixing, lending an archival image of Coventry Cathedral from 1940 a spectral feel. The ruins of the medieval Coventry Cathedral, destroyed by the German Luftwaffe during the Second World War, have become an iconic symbol of needless destruction. Yet amidst this rubble, clergy gathered medieval roofing nails, which they forged into crosses. These crosses of nails have since become symbols of reconciliation and recovery, distributed around the world, including a Coventry sister church, Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church, destroyed by Allied bombs. Takeo invites us to consider how we respond to the moments of collapse and what we build next, both literally and metaphorically. The German London-based artist G. Roland Biermann looked for inspiration in a more recent monument as he responded to the theme of Jesus' deposition. The London Eye, or Millennium Wheel, was built to signal a new era, with London, and thus Britain, leading the world. Now it seems this wheel of fortune has spun in the wrong direction as the country reels from the tragedy of the pandemic and a profound uncertainty about its post-Brexit future. Biermann captures the wheel sitting sedentary as a stone or an unwound clock. Lit by an eerie blue light in honor of National Health Service workers, the artist asks, when the wheel begins to turn once more, filled with tourists looking out across the city, will they behold a city resurrected, truly returned to life, or a shell of its former self, uncertain, anxious? S. Billy Mandel, based in Los Angeles, found parallels between Jesus' fall and the forest fires in her home state this past year. Mandel invites us to expand our understanding of monuments and memorials to include the environment, our ultimate common heritage. This fragile inheritance is being toppled, quite literally in the case of California's grand old growth forests, at an alarming rate as human-induced climate change spurs ever more frequent, devastating wildfires. As the charred manzanita in Mandel's photo reveal, the degradation of the natural world is now inextricable from human suffering, our falls and fates closely entwined. While some losses cover acres of land or are marked by massive monuments, several artists in this project remind us that memorials may also appear invisible at first, legible only to an intimate circle who recall the tragedy which transpired there. As W.H. Auden wrote when reflecting on Landscape with the Fall of Icarus, a painting attributed to Peter Bruegel the Elder, even the most excruciating suffering takes place while someone else is eating, or opening a window, or just walking dully along. Antonio McAfee reminds us of such hidden pain in a moving piece that honors his cousin, Kevin Herndon, murdered at a Baltimore metro stop. Jared Thorne offers another haunting memorial of an untimely death, which serves as the 11th station in this project, The Crucifixion. Laquan McDonald, a black teenager, was walking away from Chicago police in 2014 when he was shot 16 times by an officer who was later convicted of murder on the basis of video footage suppressed by authorities. Thorne's photogram, produced from the autopsy report released by McDonald's family, demands that we confront the palpable brutality of the young man's execution. Seen within the context of Stations of the Cross, it asks us to attend to each bullet hole like the stigmata of the crucified Christ. As the late African-American theologian Dr. James Cone writes in The Cross and the Lynching Tree, when Americans realize that they can meet Jesus only in the crucified bodies in our midst, they will encounter the real scandal of the cross. In the end, there's no single memorial which can effectively capture the myriad traumas of the past year, from the staggering toll of the pandemic to bleak examples of systemic racism and the climate crises of biblical proportion. While these challenges have intersected this past year, often with devastating effect, Stations of the Cross does not attempt to summarize them or generalize the agonizing impact they've had on specific communities, families, and individuals. Instead, this project invites viewers to bear witness to this troubling season through the reflections of individual artists who find in the passion a lens to reinterpret the present. A note of sorrow vibrates through many of these images. Not only is that fitting for the events of this year, it's a crucial part of the tradition and effectiveness of the stations as a liturgical practice. The events which the stations commemorate are painful, and they test, one may even say, train the empathy of those who engage them in a succession of prayers. They insist that viewers pause in the uncertainty and pain that commences with Jesus' condemnation and ends with his crucifixion and entombment. They defer the relief and celebration of resurrection to Easter, recognizing that the good news of that day is made sweeter by remaining, for a time at least, in the grief that precedes it. While the work of mourning is serious, it can also be replenishing. It's work that we can and must do together, however atomized and detached our circumstances at present. Moreover, while the celebration of resurrection is unabashedly Christian, as it should be, the Via Dolorosa offers a path that can be instructive across multiple faiths and none. Christians may travel its route in anticipation of salvation, but that's not the only possible destination. The Stations of the Cross invite an empathy that knows no theological copyright and requires no passport. It demands, quite simply, the capacity to behold, to truly see the suffering of the other in our midst. And, at least for the moment, that may be miracle enough.